This is a replay of the Wednesday night, January 22nd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, Endless Sports Preemptives. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. I hope you'll join me. 888-876-5593. That's 888-ROLLYE for whatever is on your mind. You know, we've all laughed since the pandemic of, we expected by now we'd have flying cars. Instead, we're taught how to wash our hands. Well, it gets worse. At least in Belgium, anyway, where the Federal Agency for Safety of the Food Chain, yes, Belgium has a Federal Agency for Safety of the Food Chain. You'd say we did too with the FDA, but I'd laugh. Anyway, they have been forced, they say forced, to issue a warning to the country. Yes, do not eat the Christmas trees. That's right, this, I know, and you thought, that's a thing? No, here's the deal. Apparently, the city of Ghent recommended cooking with conifer needles. That's right. So an actual metropolitan area, not some nut on Facebook or what have you. Yes. Yes, a government entity said you can make delicious spruce needle butter with them for bread or, well, whatever the hell you want, I guess. Toast, yes. Meanwhile, the Ghent's website, by the way, had this. But meanwhile, the federal government in Belgium wasn't having it. They're saying Christmas trees are not meant to end up in the food chain, largely because many of them are treated with pesticides and other chemicals, including flame retardant. Ghent responded by changing its headline to read, Scandinavians eat their Christmas trees, adding a warning. Not all Christmas trees are edible. Well, bottom line is apparently, for the most part, none of them are. All right, we also have cold weather versus animals. And this happens annually in Florida anytime they get a frost. But of course, now, this month, it's been prolonged. And there's a warning to be watchful for falling iguanas. That's right, it's falling iguana season, according to AccuWeather. And as the temperatures drop, the iguanas are likely to fall out of trees because they lose their grip on the branches, but they don't die. All right, so residents are warned that they appear to be dead, but they're just sleeping. Fully grown iguanas can be up to 5 feet long and up to 25 pounds. And if they awaken from that sleep, they might not be too happy about the way they made it to the ground, so you don't want to be nearby. But we have more when it comes to animals. Oh, yes, that's... oh, man, I tell you what. And that is Kansas. And again, everybody's been dealing with cold weather this month. And so in January this year, Norton, Kansas, big snowstorm. Below 20 degrees, wind chill 5 below. And meanwhile, two firemen were out trying to rescue. Actually, initially, they were out trying to restore the power. But then they saw it. On top of a utility pole, a bobcat and her kitten frozen to the line and the pole. And so bottom line was frozen solid. They couldn't knock them off. They had to go up there and manage to cut the ice And they did that, and of course the cat and her baby got to the ground and immediately fled, which is what you'd expect. We also have some porcine perpetrators, that's right, pigs, in Ohio, where this was a horrendous accident, but livestock, not a pet, so who do you charge, or do you charge? So what happened? Police went to a welfare check on a 75-year-old woman after their family hadn't heard from her. They found the woman dead on her property near her home. She was mauled and eaten by two pigs that belonged to the neighbor. And so they said, it's just something we've not dealt with before. They're not pets. They're livestock. Not sure what would cover this. Well, it's too late for that woman to care either way, I would assume. So those are some animal stories, and we have plenty more, believe me. But I'd prefer to get to your calls, and hopefully I will. 888-876-5593. But before we do that, I know if you listen to this show, you love radio, or you wouldn't put up with me. And that's why I'm always telling you about the Sea Crane Company. But it's amazing to me there are still people who haven't gone to ccradio.com. If you can go online, bookmark it, ccradio.com, because it's not only great products, it's great information about radio as well. And the deal is, when Bob Crane discovered how lousy reception was decades ago, he said, I can do better. And he did. And today, there are many radios offered, each one different from the next, at the Sea Crane Company. And the commonality to every one of them is they just have superior reception. And a standout in that is the CC Radio 3, the almost everything radio, with the addition of Bluetooth. So you have an immense palette of radio shows and podcasts available for any smartphone or speaker, because the quality of the CC Radio 3 is nice. In fact, if you listen primarily for voice content, it's arguably worth the price alone. Audio quality for the spoken word sounds just like the host is sitting right next to you. So, but it's a lot more than that. Terrific reception, AM and FM. And like I say, if you doubt me, then what you want to do is take another radio, your standard radio, I don't care what it is, not a Sea Crane radio, tune it to a station that's kind of weak, not coming in well, then take the CC Radio 3, tune it to the same station, and yeah, you'll make the case for yourself right there. So it's just great. It also has all the bells and whistles. It's got presets, and it's got a digital readout, and it's got a clock, an alarmer, and a time, and emergency capabilities like NOAA weather, and the 2-meter handband, which can be a lot of fun too. So go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. And it runs on the included power cord, but if you put a set of batteries in there, it lasts you about 170 hours, so that's a good deal. CCRadio.com, look at the CC Radio 3. Now, if you can't go online, that's all right, you can give them a call. 800-522-8863. They've got terrific customer service, and someone is there as I speak. 800-522-8863. They'll answer all your questions. You can order if you like, or just ask for a copy of the catalog. They'll mail one to you. Things like the CC Radio 3 are also available at Amazon or REI or Bi-Mart. But before you do that, go to ccradio.com. Yeah, you'll see all sorts of information you're not going to find elsewhere, and just wonderful products, including that CC Radio 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Oh, hell, the little things you say and do make me want to be with you. Rain on, it's a crazy feeling. I know it's got me reeling when you say I
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that was Cindy's request in Chicago, Rave On, 1958 on Carl, Buddy Holly, and it was a cover. Yeah, the original was by Sonny West, who co-wrote it with Norman Petty, and it was released on Atlantic Records, and that was also in 1958, did absolutely nothing. Later the same year, Buddy recorded it, and of course, it was a hit, to say the least, and did not do that in Clovis, as he did many of the recordings, but that was at Bell Sound Studios in New York City, and it wasn't Norm Petty at the helm, it was Milton DeLug. Yeah, there's a name for you, and if you remember him, we can talk about him some night, and nonetheless, the title was inspired, Rave On, by one of my all-time favorite records on Sun in 1956, Dixie Fried by Carl Perkins, which uses the refrain, Rave On, and that's where it comes from. So that's the deal. All right, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And we're kicking it off with Andrew in Chicago. How have you been, Andrew?
Pretty, a lot of ups and downs.
Okay, if these are hard, I'll start slower. No, well, hopefully today is an up day.
Yeah, actually.
Okay, good.
But yeah, just my question about Rush Limbaugh. Like, I don't know. I've been thinking about him lately, and you know, when I was a teenager, you know, I was always really offended by him. But you know, just the more I think about him and kind of listen to some of his old stuff, I just kind of get the impression that he was more satirical than anything else.
So, what's your question?
Or at least, how did you feel about him? Did he know him?
I knew him in passing. I didn't know him as a friend or a confidant or even a close associate. I knew him in passing to wave hi, Rush. So does that knowing him? Probably not, actually. He was Rusty Sharp originally. He was a top 40 disc jockey and a pretty good one. His idol was Larry Lujack. And he was in McKeesport for a while and in Kansas City and did a fine job as far as that. He got into talk radio after a dry spell in radio and doing some things not radio related, working for a Kansas City ball team. And anyway, he got back on the air, and he was at KFPK in Sacramento. And when Ed McLaughlin, who had been president of ABC Radio, was ousted, one of his parting gifts, as I like to call, was a use of the ABC Radio satellite time as well as the ABC Radio sales force. So he was looking for somebody, and it was actually Bruce Marr, who was a program director at a while before that, but program director at KABC in Los Angeles. He had left that and opened a consultancy for many years. And he had said to Ed, you got to have this guy Rush. And Ed heard him and said, I don't get it. He said, well, I guarantee you that this will work. In fact, I want 10% of the first 5 years. And he actually, from what I understand, he got it. But in any event, when it started, the two major affiliates were WABC and KFI in Los Angeles. Now, WABC would not take the show on satellite. They insisted that it be a live version just for them. So it was 2 hours live in New York and then 2 hours syndicated, which is what KFI took. All right, now the interesting thing is, why were they so insistent on this? Because, and I talked about this on the air in the past, in fact, I think fairly recently, but with the rise of Top 40 as network radio started to dwindle, one of the prevailing notions was that to be successful, you had to be local. And this was so ingrained that that for the most part, radio was not interested in national shows. And so it was that WABC, which of course, had been for years a Top 40 station, said, if you want to do it, you're going to be live for us. So he was doing 4 hours, two for them and then two on network. That didn't last for too many years. Ultimately, it became a three-hour syndicated show, and it was a runaway success. It did a number of things. The biggest thing it did, and the reason I think that Rush Limbaugh deserves a place in history, is that it proved single-handedly that relatability did not have to be local. So localism and relatability were separate concepts, and radio had never embraced that before that. So Rush really, if nothing else, brought that. But there were many other things he did as well. For one thing, by the time satellite delivery was available, you suddenly had a lot of AM stations that didn't know what else they were going to do with themselves that could suddenly become talk stations because, of course, now they didn't have to pay for local talent and producers and, you know, engineers and everything else. Now they could just flip a switch and take a show nationally. So in many ways, Rush's show really, for especially the medium market and lesser major market stations, Rush really saved them absolutely single-handedly, because they could never have afforded to do that on their own. So from a business standpoint, those are a couple things. Now, from a programming standpoint, when Rush first started, it was actually a little different than as time went on in later years, but it was not so much his view of feminism. It was phrases like feminazi. It was not his views on abortion. It was the caller abortion when he didn't like a caller. So there were bits, and his timing was excellent. And, you know, he was absolutely an entertainer. And so if you ask me to define the show in a word, and I only have one word, I'll say entertainment. But, of course, it worked on many levels. And the nice thing about it is, for Rush's sake, is he didn't have many people who were milquetoast. He had people who loved him and people who hated him. But he didn't have too many in the middle, and the middle is death. I don't care if they hate you, if they're listening, but if you've evoked that emotion, you've hit on something and you're winning. So, you know, I think he did very well with what he had. We could, you know, parse it through the decades, but he gave a lot more to radio than people realize, and hope he's resting in peace.
Yeah, because, like, you know, at the time, like, when I was, you know, in high school, you know, Balma was just, had just won, you know, and, you know, I was, you know, very much, you know, no, I'm not trying to get too serious, but, well...
Now, when you're saying
between the lines.
So when were you? Give me the year. Give me the years you were in high school.
I graduated in 2010.
Okay. Well,
so
now
26 to 2010.
Right, and you're talking about a show that had been on the air since 1987, and it evolved. And what you heard in 2008, 2009, what have you, was very different than what you heard in 1988. It evolved. And one thing that happened, of course, is Rush became very accepted by the establishment. When he started, he was more of an outcast, which made it edgier, I thought funnier, and all that. But later on, you know, his detractors would say that he was a talking head for the Republican Party. So what you were hearing was the somewhat refined and calmed down Rush.
Got it. Now, I, like, heard stories about how, like, he used to make fun of people who had AIDS or whatever.
You know, I don't recall. I don't recall that at all. And
I think that's just an old wives' tale.
Yeah, I do not recall him ever doing that because Rush was smart, and there wouldn't be any benefit in doing that.
Well, right, in that he, like, blew a clown horn or something. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like you would just like randomly report people and make fun of them. And like, that never really made sense to me. You know, I cannot find any proof except for
now
on certain message
boards. Right. And I've seen that on the message boards too. I've seen the bit about he had celebratory moments when someone died, you know, who had AIDS and, said to Dionne Warwick, "I'll never love this way again." Well, I can't say it didn't happen because I didn't hear every broadcast, but I can say I absolutely never heard it.
Right. But I'm guessing that you probably liked the guy, at least what you heard. Like, just when I'm just listening to this old stuff or whatever, I'm just amazed by just how much I as a person changed in terms of beliefs and in terms of personality and just how more nuanced I've become, how my humor has changed and evolved, and just amazed just how, I guess, laid back and less uptight, you know, I am now in 33 years old versus 18, you know.
Well, I'm not a good talk radio listener because to me they're playing the talk hits. I'm not getting emotionally involved in what they're saying or not saying as much as are they creative and how are they delivering it and things like that. So I don't hold it up in a yardstick like that. But I will say that there has not been, as far as talk radio, a success remotely close to Rush.
Makes sense.
Before or after?
I'm still trying to find, would you even know how I'd be able to find, like, old air checks of Rod Roddy when he was at KLIF?
Oh, God, yeah, especially that one show. Hang on a minute, don't go away. We'll talk about that after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Well, don't you know I'm wondering, little girl, I'm wondering, how can I make you love me a little more than you love him? Oh, baby, I'm wondering, little girl, I'm wondering, how can I make you love me a little more than you love him? Oh, baby, Jimmy was your sweetie pie, your precious one. Papa told them things were looking down, and they packed up everything they owned and left this little old town. Each tear I dried for you, the closer our lives grew. I fell in love, it's true, and you say you love me too. But baby, I'm wondering, little girl, I'm wondering, how can I make you love me a little more than you loved him? Ooh, baby, I'm wondering, little girl, I'm wondering,
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, 1967 on Tamla, I'm Wandering. Stevie Wonder co-wrote it, along with Sylvia Moy and Hank Cosby. But that was a request, and I played it because, now who was it who wanted to hear it? Well, nonetheless, I hope they enjoyed it, whoever it was. It's here somewhere, wait. Carol keeps me honest with this. She gives me great lists. If only I could read. All right, here we go. Jim in New Hampshire. All right, I said that last night. I told Jim I would play that among, there was another one too, I think. So I'll look for that one too. All right, so 888-876-5593. You're talking with Andrew, and he mentioned about Rod Roddy air checks. Now, by the way, have you combed the internet? Because there's quite a few on there.
Is KLIF work?
Well,
that one particular show,
right? You know the show I'm talking about, right?
I forgot the name of it, but yeah.
Oh no, it's not about the name of it. It's, you know, public affairs shows are just mind-numbingly boring, and so they had hired Rod, and one of the things he was told to do was, you know, make it more interesting. Now, I always had a definition when I heard these shows, and that was, Rod, you are not to serve the interested public, you are to serve the public interest, and you need to know the difference. Well, he didn't, is the bottom line.
Wait, say that again.
Okay, you see, radio stations are licensed to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity. So public interest, and what Rod was doing, he wasn't serving the public interest, he was serving the interested public, and they're not the same thing. And
the interested public.
Yes, of course.
What does that mean?
Well, all right. So in other words, like I say, public affairs show are normally kind of mind-numbing things. And so here is Rod, and he's claiming to do the show in the nude. That was one of my favorite things in all this. And people were listening to him, and they were protesting him and all this kind of stuff. And what were some of the other things? Yeah, that night. And remember, Cliff was a triangle building on Commerce Street in downtown Dallas on the second floor with window studios, and he claimed that he had stripped naked on the air to protest the lack of sex education in public school. Well, people went crazy, but of course, had anybody driven by the Commerce Studios, that triangular glass studio, they would have seen that it was pure imagination, because that's what Rush was, that's what Rod was about. And, you know, entire church groups were protesting Rod. So here is the deal. All right. It was his final show, was it ever? And you know, Rod, he was gay, he was liberal, he didn't have much patience for convention. Incredible voiceover talent, but given his own viewpoints, he agreed to have Vonda K. Van Dyke on. Now, Vonda K. Van Dyke was a previous Miss America, and she was married to a preacher, and she was representing Amway. And so here's Rod thinking, oh, it's not going to get better than this. So, you know, he figures he'll take her to task on traditional female roles, how Miss America demeaned women, and he could extol the virtues of the feminist movement. Well, that was what was on his plate, so he was ready. Now, Rod understood about setting parameters, and so while he understood that Vonda was in town because of an Amway convention and she represented Amway, he also wanted to make sure that he did an upfront statement about Amway to satisfy her. And, you know, of course, then there was going to be no further talk about Amway. All right. So, by the way, the Amway convention was at the Blackstone Hotel in Fort Worth. That'll be part of our story, but okay. So, he's excited about this. It's just going to be a powder keg pairing. So here's the elaborate introduction and the big, you know, Amway plug and all that. But the problem is that after that generous setup, Rod would ask a question and Vonda managed to get Amway into the answer. So Rod would remind her of the ground rules and venture another question. And once again, the answer was Amway. And Rod was amicable. He was amicable about the first half a dozen times. All right. After that, he flatly reminded her, you know, no. Well, she would not comply. So after a few more volleys, he says, that's it. That's the last time you're going to mention that product on the air. I'm going to ask you to leave the studio now. Well, apparently nobody asks Miss America to leave the studio. She went crazy. She throws a cup of hot coffee on him. And he is screeching now at this point. You slob, get out of my studio. Miss America is nothing but a street slob. Well, about this time, he hyperventilates and drops over. And literally, ambulances are lined up on Commerce Street. And the reality was that it was only hyperventilation. He did not have a heart attack, even though he said he did in later interviews. But he returned to the program about an hour later. But he's mad at this point. Obviously, Vonda is gone, but he's not done. And so he goes on and on about how nobody's ever shown me this level of disrespect and all that. And so he suggested that listeners should let Amway know the caliber of person they had representing them. Well, that would be all right if that was all he said, but he gave out the room number and the phone number of the hotel where the Amway president was ensconced. He also gave out Vonda's room number in case anybody wanted to talk to her directly. I can't tell you how many people obliged him. And needless to say, that was a suspension and then it was over. But so he was not playing records on Cliff. So if you're looking for a disc jockey air check, that's not what he was doing.
What I was meaning by air check was that show you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. The show is not online, unfortunately. I don't know anybody who has a copy. The person most likely to would have been Michael O'Shea, who had been program director. And he had his own run-in with the public affairs shows. But anyhow, there isn't one. But SMU, in their archives, has some interviews with Rod about that show.
Oh, yeah, I've watched all of those. He seemed like a really interesting guy.
Rod, you know, I wasn't a friend of Rod's, but through good friends of mine who were good friends of his, I felt like I knew him. And I thought he was just a kick. I thought he was great.
I'm almost done with what I'm going to talk about. Michelle Phillips. I've been watching Knots Landing. And she starred on it during the last few seasons. And I'm actually surprised by how good of an actress she was.
Okay.
And but then I discovered some of her solo work, like No Love Today. And I was surprised by how good of a singing voice she had.
Mm-hmm.
But because, you know, she was always, you know, pretty much looked upon as just a pretty blonde. But she definitely had talent.
I don't think there's a doubt of it, and she had some notorious husbands, to say the least. But you know, she's done quite a bit, and she's succeeded, and good luck to her. But I don't have any anything negative to say about her. Michelle Gilliam was her name originally. She's from Long Beach.
Yeah, but of course, you know, Cass Elliot was great.
Oh, of course, yeah, but that's a whole different story.
Oh yeah, but geez, you know, there's on YouTube footage of her daughter singing with Wilson Phillips when they were doing tributes to Mamas and the Papas, and you know, her daughter sounds just like her.
Huh. Okay.
Finally, have you ever heard of the this conspiracy theory stuff? I think it's called like the Venona Project, the Nora Project.
Huh.
Was the CIA counterintelligence?
Okay, that was World War II, though. That's old.
48 through 78.
Oh, I thought it was actually World War II, but yeah. What Verona revealed was the Russian spying at the Manhattan Project site, and that was probably what I would most know about that.
But evidently, it pretty much vindicated of Senator Joseph McCarthy.
McCarthy.
So, like, it's pretty much everybody he accused of and was considered a coup for accusing them actually had were actually Nazi, I don't know, Russian spies.
Well, here's the deal.
Everyone.
History's been rewritten on Joe McCarthy. And the sad thing is when people talk about him, when they're talking about the House Un-American activities, you know, the attack on Hollywood, Joe McCarthy was a senator. He had nothing to do with the House Un-American Activities Committee. His issue was solely that there are government employees, there are people within the government who have communist loyalties. And he was proven right. Initially, you know, everybody held up that one Washington, D.C. employee saying, you know, how could you attack her and all that, and turned out she was absolutely a rank and file communist. So yeah, that part is true. But the big thing is that when we're talking about the Un-American Activities Committee, had nothing to do with Joe McCarthy.
Yeah, which is interesting. Which, you know, definitely the fact that, you know, he has been positioned as that is something that always, you know, made my eyebrows pop up.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have to go now. I just got done making homemade beef stew, and it's very good.
Well, very good. I hope you survived the experience.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks. Appreciate it. 888-876-5593. Beef stew. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Yeah, I could go for some of that. All right. So 888-876-5593. We got Dolly and Gary. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I have listened to your show since you started at WGN, but I'm wondering if you have heard anything from Leah, because she was one of your best callers.
You're right. She was. And we have.
What happened to her?
I don't know. You know, and I could look through the winners list to find an address, maybe a phone number, but I don't want to invade a listener's privacy. We've reached out to her on the air many times saying, Leah, please call us, and we haven't heard a word.
Oh, because she was going to get new teeth, and it was taking forever.
Right. She absolutely. She had all her teeth pulled, and then she had gone through some temporaries and had to have some surgeries, and that seemed fine. And, yes, she was supposed to have all of that done before Christmas.
Oh, well, John said you did get a Christmas card from her.
I did?
Yeah, that's what John said.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I hope we can find Leah. Leah, please call.
Yes, I hope that she will, and maybe I'll break down, like I say, and violate her confidence and see if I can't call her.
Find out, because she's been so loyal to the show.
Right. Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Thank
right.
You.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, and with Leah, you know, this is a woman who used a Dremel bit drill to her teeth, and this is a woman who took all 5 Ozempic shots in 1 week. All right, so, by the way, it's not Verona Project, it's been Nona Project, but, yeah, I digress. We'll get to Ruth and Gurney and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Uh-huh. I look at a stranger, can this be the sensible me who said he wouldn't fall in love? I suddenly saw you, I knew there was danger. Why run away when I love you and want you forever? I know I'm a dreamer, but I don't want to wake up. Whenever you touch me, I can fly to the sky. A dreamer.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that was Jim from New Hampshire's other request. Yes, Al Martino, To the Door of the Sun, and actually, he was not the first person to record it, nor was English the first language it was recorded in. Alle Porte del Sol was Giliola Cinquetti, 1973, and not a hit here, I don't know about Italy. And then, in November of 74, he did Al Martino did it as a mixed of To the Door of the Sun and Alle Porte del Sol, the Italian lyrics. So that's the deal on that. On Capital, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Ruth is in Gurnee. I got a minute and a half, Ruth. We can hold you over, but try not to be winded.
Hi, I didn't hear what you said for the last couple of words.
Oh, I said I've got a minute and a half here, so go for it.
Oh, that's too fast for my questions for you to research. I guess I don't get put on hold like other people
well,
do. But
you may if you don't. You may if you don't abuse it.
I'll go as quickly as I can. I wanted a comment for Tubby about Stop and Shop in Chicago. They had the best after Christmas sales there. It was incredible.
Okay.
And what patriotism Tubby did when she came up with something political a couple of calls ago. But I wanted information because last night I got to hear that tribute from Sauk Village. And I thought I might have missed it from previous nights. And so Jimmy Carter. And I wondered about, did they have a guest book at the Presidential Library in Atlanta? Did they have a guest book at the church in Washington? And I was wondering about the flower arrangements that would have been sent there. I was just curious to know of the famous people that came in, you know, to attend the services, who some of them would have been. And I'd love to know who the funeral director was. But had I been able to send a flower arrangement, which I would have loved to have done, I would have done a large bag that had a big blue ribbon on it and filled it with peanuts, and the top of it would have had the red, white, and blue flowers, or a big cornucopia filled with peanuts and red, white, and blue flowers. So I'll get that finished up on that about my still doing the morning. And there was a Habitat charitable request in my
mailbox.
All
right, hang on. Don't go away. And that's where we'll pick it up. We'll answer all of Ruth's questions. So we'll hang on, and she will try to be more succinct. And that's the deal there as we check out the news right here. Well, a few commercials first on WGN Radio.
I can only give you love that lasts forever, and a promise to be near each time you call. And the only heart I own is for you and you alone. That's all. That's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime and a hand to hold when leaves begin to fall, and a love whose burning light will warm the winter night. That's all. That's all. There are those, I am sure, who have told you they would give you the world for a toy. All I have are these arms to enfold you, and a love time can never destroy.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's The Midnighters. Yeah, Little Willie G on lead. That's all. 1965 on Chattahoochee. And Jim from Wisconsin said, well, pick out one that you really like and dedicate it to you from me. And so that was hard to do because there's just so many. But when it comes down to, I think of what are my Desert Island records. And of course, you know, Oh My Angel, Bertha Tillman, which I play fairly regularly. That's definitely one of them. And Who Do You Love? The Sapphires, definitely one of them. But that version of That's All by The Midnighters, East LA's own, is on the list. So yeah, there you go. And I enjoyed every note of it. All right, so Ruth here wanted to know about the guest list. And the deal, Ruth, as far as anybody is talking, it is largely politicians. The only ones who have not been politicians that are on the list, of course, were Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood, who performed. But other than that, it was a who's who of politicians. Now, did they have a book? They did, but not the way you're thinking. What they did, I don't know about people who were actually attending the funeral, but hundreds of people lined up at the People's House on Pennsylvania Avenue to sign a condolence book that was created for people to pay their respects to Jimmy Carter Monday. And the line was pretty long, and a lot of people signed. So that's all I know.
Are you there?
Yes, that's all I know.
Okay, well, I'm wondering about flower arrangements.
I'm not visual, so I wouldn't know about flower arrangements. Can't
help
you.
I didn't see anything on TV. I only had ink spots throughout the whole ceremony.
So I don't know.
Radio-wise,
you'd have to ask somebody who cares.
I was curious who would have signed a card at the flower arrangements that were delivered.
Well,
you
got to ask somebody who would care, which is not me.
Okay. Now, I did have one other quick statement, if you got time for it. It was because while I was waiting for you, you were speaking about spies. And were the Senators Joe McCarthy and John F. Kennedy, they were in the Senate at the same time? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, because that Patricia McMillan, who would sashay down the hallways of the quarters on her way to Nana in the middle of the night, when I found out from the Split the Field manager, Mr. Jonas, who she was and why they were there at that time. They were kind of in a secretive location.
All right, you said it was going to be
doorway.
Quick. You said it was going to be quick, so no explanations.
So anyway, I just wondered where the publisher of House Beautiful said, if you leave now, come back to us at another time. And he would tell me wherever he went, he got compliments about me across the country. That was Honorable Wasserman. I'm surprised Patricia McMillan didn't ask me, do you want to work for the CIA? Because she was a spy in Russia. And I was there by myself.
Can't speak to it. Everybody else's doors were closed. Yeah, I can't speak to it, but I can tell you that Joe McCarthy was in the Senate, of course, till 57, and you had Kennedy, who was in the Senate from 53 to 57, so those were the 4 years where there was an overlap.
No, okay. Well, that's good enough for now. So,
good.
Zippity-doo-wop, good night.
Okay,
that's
thanks.
All.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-ROLLYE. Yeah, and don't want to go down a political route, but there you have the answers to your questions. If it's something else on your mind, well, I'm all ready to talk about it, whatever it might be. There was something else in the news of the weird, and that I thought was. I mean, let's face it. Can you beat falling iguana season or eating Christmas trees? I'm not sure, but there was one, and now it's escaped me here. But this is actually a problem, and everybody today is using their GPS devices to guide them, and that is amazing to me for all the reasons that you've heard. People driving into bodies of water, into closed sites, etc. and so forth, happens nonstop. But apparently some of these apps, well, in this case, I do believe that it was Google Maps, also put locations on the maps in terms of what is where. And I don't know if it's pranksters or what, but apparently on some of these maps there are imaginary locations. In a small Welsh village, there's an Aldi supermarket that doesn't exist. And it's got a pin on Google Maps, and it directs shoppers and delivery drivers to a grassy field, leaving locals unamused. But one large milk tank truck became stuck as far as that goes. But it is amazing to me how many people will rely on these devices for guidance without, you know, looking up, for instance, in terms of the closed streets and so forth. But a phantom Aldi. Well, Aldi got in the mix there and said they're working with Google Maps to get the pin removed. But yeah, it does make you wonder how much of that's going around and how many people are victimized by it. Well, victimized by themselves, as far as I'm concerned. So if you want to talk about it, I do too. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Well, I got this friend named TJ Clyde. He sees this strength our God inside, so he says to me, "Hey, I want some of that." I say, "Clyde, it's easy as 1, 2, 3. You just say this simple prayer with me." He said, "Not me, but I still want some of that." Salesman Lyle, so he says with a $1 million smile, "Why, that's interesting, you know, here, I'd like some of that." I said, "Lyle, you're gonna have to humble your pride and ask the Lord to come inside." He said, "Oh, but I still want some of that." In astrology, that horoscope you read is just a waste. You can't find it looking at the stars, Jupiter, the moon, and Mars. 'Cause you'll soon find that all you got was space. Well, my best friend Ray has got this my eyes this piece. So yesterday said, "I want some of that."
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Carmen. That's my favorite Carmen song. It's from his second album, 1982, Some of That. And Carmen would have turned 69 last weekend. He was born in Trenton in 1956, and he was just terrific. His Radically Saved tour was just wonderful in the early 80s, and I just really liked him. Sadly, he died in 1921 in Las Vegas. No, he didn't either. That can't be right. In 2020, 2021 in Las Vegas. Okay, very good. Yeah, 2021 in Las Vegas. All right, God, I tell you, we should pre-read him. And he sadly had cancer and was diagnosed, I think, in 2013, and it was multiple myeloma. And he was cancer-free for a number of years, but it returned in 2020, and in February of 2021, he died in Las Vegas. And it was actually complications after he had a hiatal hernia surgery, just 65 years old. But, man, he was really a talent. All right, so 888-876-5593. That takes us to Laura in Willowbrook. What's up, Laura?
Oh my gosh, Raleigh, just the subject I wanted to talk to. You were talking about Google Maps and finding things that weren't there or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I have two short stories for you. I was driving to a place that I had never been, so I try to look a little bit ahead of time, but I use Google Maps a lot. But I do have somewhat of a brain, not like some people. I'm driving, and I'm going in an unfamiliar area. It says, okay, don't go down this street. Okay, I'm going down the street. Now, at the end of the street, turn right. I look. I say, okay, how do they want me to turn right? Am I supposed to climb this brick wall with my car, or do I drive through the brick wall with my car? It wanted me to drive right in through this brick wall. It's like, how the, like, what?
Yeah.
So I don't... Oh God, I don't know. Just like you said, that the Walmart that's not there,
right? The Aldi, actually, but yes, exactly. Places
Aldi
that aren't there, or but the amount of people who've literally driven off cliffs is startling.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my.
Yes. I mean, people have plunged to their death because of these maps. And,
oh God!
You know, I used to kiddingly say, you know, about people who maybe were a few brain cells short, dear Lord, don't let them vote. But I amended that long ago. It's dear Lord, don't let them drive.
And, oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Save their life. Don't let them drive.
Well, right. Oh, and as I say, they're not really breaking traffic laws. They're trying to violate the laws of physics. And it just doesn't work. So,
oh, God,
yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Well, if you have a time for another short story.
Oh, sure.
My gosh. I don't, these Google Maps has taken people's brains and thrown them out the window. I get grocery deliveries a lot. I live up 29 stairs and I can't carry that much stuff upstairs. So I get deliveries a lot. Let's just use Main Street as an example. If I live on Main Street, okay, find my address. Let's say 100 Main Street. They'll be 10 minutes late, and they'll call. It says, I can't find your address. And I can see where the car is. It's down. I says, where are you? Well, I'm on Jones Street. I says, the Jones Street is near me, but my address is Main Street. Why are you on Jones Street when my address is Main Street? Well, that's what Google Maps told me to go. It's like, they don't even read a street sign.
No.
You are on the wrong street.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this is just the outgrowth of things going bad when they allowed kids to use calculators, you know, and they'd come up with these insane answers of basic arithmetic. You know, that's like 2 and 2 equaling 22. And they have absolutely no concept of why that couldn't be right.
Yes, yes, you're right. And I ask them, when they get there, I says, did you not read the street sign? You were on the wrong street. And they just go, oh, well, you know, oh, God.
No, they
take people's brains and mushed them.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it's coming to, but very often I have that phrase that all old people do, I've lived too long.
Yes, Raleigh.
All right.
Well, great show as
always.
Right, thanks. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Take
care. So 888-876-5593. And as I say, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, and we can talk about virtually anything. You know, it's interesting. There seems to be traffic patterns, and I know that you've seen them, not only in terms of driving, but in terms of, say, store traffic or what have you, where there are like times of plenty and times that are absolutely voids. And boy, you'd be a millionaire if you could predict how that happened. But like last night's, man, couldn't get to everybody in time. Tonight, I am talking to myself. Yes, well, maybe I'll look up the International Soup Swap Day, which was celebrated yesterday. Today is Answer Your Cat's Question Day, and I made the mistake of looking it up. Oh, man. Yeah, you probably don't want to know. But I guess the most cogent answer I got, not satisfactory, but semi-cogent, was that look deeply at your cat and visualize what he would ask if he could. Yeah, too much time on your hands. It's also hot sauce day. Well, maybe you can combine that with cat question day. That could be an event. All right, or not. Speaking of events, the new moon, if you're into those prosperity checks, is next week, Wednesday morning at 6:35 a.m. So probably best, unless you're a very early riser, to write those prosperity checks Tuesday night. And of course, they're not real checks, and you know the deal. This is asking the universe for what you want, and by timing it just before the new moon, you're more likely to get it, say, those who are soothsayers. And you can read more about that at MaryAnnWinkowski.com. And no, I have absolutely no update on Marianne, and I'm very concerned. I took to writing every address I could find, and, you know, because all the phone numbers I had been disconnected, and I don't know. Her website's still up. I haven't seen any recent events, but I'm hoping she's okay. I should check to see if she's done anything on YouTube or one of those of late. But Marianne, if you're out there, we're thinking about you and certainly wishing you very well. All right, so we've got Isaac. Isaac is on the South Side. So what's up tonight, Isaac?
Hi, Raleigh. I love the lady that just called from Willowbrook. I love her voice. But I was calling because you guys, this is slightly related. Here in Chicago, we have street gangs. I'm sure all over America they have street gangs. And when the street gangs are beefing with each other, this is a new thing that they're doing, like with the TikTok era. They drive to the rival gang's territory in the middle of the night. They jump on the street sign. Say she says she lives like on Jones Street.
Right.
They jump on the sign that says Jones and they bend it.
Okay.
And that's all they do. And then they leave and go back to their territory.
Well, you know, considering what it could be, that's not bad.
I know. it's a minor inconvenience.
Yes, like, exactly.
Yeah.
I encourage that behavior. Yeah, you betcha. Maybe it costs the road department a little bit of money, but overall,
yes.
It's a satisfactory answer here. I'm happy with it.
My neighbor was like, well, now when people come to my block, I can't, you know, they have to look harder to see that, you know, this is Jones Street. I'm like, yeah, but they
that may be good.
Really,
I mean, because really, if people who you regularly see, they know where your street is.
And they know exactly.
People who don't regularly see that, that's kind of good. I always take to putting a no trespassing sign at the beginning of the block where I live.
All over Chicago. I was on Reddit, in the Reddit subgroup, and the person said, who is bending the street signs all over Chicago? Who are bending these street signs? And we had to explain the whole street gang phenomenon.
So, oh, I love this.
They're not, yeah.
I just love this. Hopefully we'll get some calls on what signs are bent as we speak. I'm so glad you called, Isaac. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. So, yeah. All right. Tell me, what signs are bent or should be? 888-876-5593. News time on WGN Radio.
You keep saying you got something for me, something you call love, but confess, you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing, and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and oh yes, it's Nancy Sinatra, love it or hate it, and it was a request, and yeah, I actually don't hate it, I can't claim I'd love it, but Sam and Gurney likes it, and so there we are, 1965, on reprise, of course, her daddy's label, and that was none other, of course, than Lee Hazelwood producing and writing, and Billy Strange arranging. All right, so Elizabeth is in Rock Falls, so Mr. Chubbs, how is he?
Oh, Raleigh. Oh, he's okay. I mean, there's nothing really wrong with him except being chubbier.
Oh, no.
He went to the vet last week to get his Bordetello nasal spray, whatever it is.
Right.
Put him on the scale. Oh, my gosh. He'd lost 12 pounds. Hmm. And he gained 10 back.
So he's down 2 overall now, is what we're saying.
Yes, in over 2 years. Oh, I was embarrassed. People sitting in the waiting room like, oh, what are you doing with that dog?
Well, maybe he's just large boned.
I don't think so.
No? So you've taken a look and he's not large bones, huh? Okay.
And his hair is all grown out, so his hair is about 2 inches long now, so he looks even bigger. But I thought that's why he looked big. But it wasn't.
Well, no. Well, now, of course, you've got him on a fairly strict diet, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And he hates.
And I don't know.
And he hates you for it because he feels he's being deprived.
Right. Terribly deprived.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. I know he's getting some snacks from me in between, not a huge amount, not that much.
Oh, this is just terrible. I don't know what we're going to do.
I don't know. I'll tell you something more terrible.
What?
I was at Bridge a couple weeks ago, and one of the women whose husband had passed away was talking about getting the title of her car changed.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I never did it 4 years ago, and I never changed the title to my name. So I go to the DMV, I ask, what do I need? You need the title, the original title, you need a death certificate, you need his will. So I came home, I got the death certificate, and I got the title out of the safety deposit box, and I got the copy of the death certificate, took it back. Well, this isn't a certified will. We have to have one of those.
Oh, jeez.
So I called the lawyer. They couldn't find one. They couldn't find his will. So I called the courthouse in Morrison. Uh-huh. And, yes, they could give me a copy. So I rolled down there, got the copy, came back. It was just it was very traumatic. And I thought, I've been driving around for 4 years without a legitimate title.
You know, I think actually you're not alone by any means, and I'm not sure it would have mattered that much. Now, if you never retitled the car, did you ever retitle the insurance?
The insurance is in my name.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the insurance company never bothered to ask, is the car in your name?
No. No, they never did.
Yeah, so it would not have been a big problem. I literally know people who have been widowed for like 20 years, and they've never taken the utilities out of their former spouse's name. So, you know, in the scheme of things, it probably doesn't matter much. But yeah, when you're caught off guard, you're saying, "Oh my God, I never even thought of this." Yeah,
and I looked it up. State of Illinois laws, and it says it should be done within 30 days.
Right. But what would they do to you?
And there could be a fine and even jail time.
But there wouldn't be. All you'd have to do is look befuddled and old. Trust me.
You look like that all the time.
You know, well, then, and bring Mr. Chubbs as well, and you'll it'll be a lock. You'll have no problem. I think you
know what else? What else I looked up was, is there Ozempic for dogs?
Oh, my God.
And it said they're working on the second generation for animals, but the cost would be between $900 and $1,300 a month.
No.
No, I'm not doing that. Even if they had it, I couldn't
right.
do it.
No. Just this is morally wrong. I can't, no. well, you know, I'm going to look this up online. I never really did look at how to get a dog to lose weight. You know, have you checked all the possible tips?
Well, he should be out walking, but we can't. There's snow out there and ice, and I can't walk him around there.
No, that's right. Walking would help. And you've got him on some mm-hmm. kind of weight control food, right?
No, weight management, Purina.
All right. Well, maybe try another food. Maybe like Royal Canin weight control is better. I don't know. You might keep trying different weight control foods as you run out of it.
Well, that's an idea, right? Because I don't think it really fills him up. You know, he's still hungry after he eats.
Maybe he needs some blood work. I mean, there could be something wrong with the thyroid. I mean, I have no idea. But all kidding aside, I think that your veterinarian might want to draw some blood to find out, is there any underlying health condition that's contributing?
Well, he has to go back in a couple months. So
okay. So yeah. So next time, yeah, talk to the vet about it and tell him exactly what you're doing, and you know. As far as that goes, you know, portion control is interesting. You can't really eyeball the food. You have to actually weigh it and things like that. So, God.
It says to give, for his size, to give one cup in the morning and one cup around dinner time. And so I do that. But if I stop there, I wake up. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning, and his stomach is growling and growling and growling. So I give him a little bit more and some green beans at 9 o'clock, and that settles his stomach down for the night. But oh gosh, I don't know.
No, you definitely need a thorough discussion with the vet about this, because there's got to be an answer. And it does scare me that answer is more exercise, because like you say, it's the middle of winter, it's below freezing. You're not going to get out there and walk them very much. So and you're not giving them any treats. You're not giving them any table scrap.
He gets one of those dental chew things.
Oh right.
Two or three times a week, but there's
okay.
not that much.
All right. Do you have a treadmill?
No.
Well, I had a former coworker who actually got a treadmill for his dog. I was really upset about it, because they were actually treadmills that they were giving to us on the air, and he already had one, and he managed to snag a second one for their dog, and I still didn't have one, so I was pretty upset about that. But I said, have you really trained this animal? Oh, yes, we walk together every day. And so so that that might be something. Put him on a treadmill.
Okay. Well,
right. Well, I think that the vet will have better advice. And the other thing is, there are a ton of different dog foods. Like Blue Buffalo has a formula for weight control, and I think it's got a lot of fiber and stuff. I don't know, but I would say if Purina isn't getting it, it's time to change food.
He's over there licking his bowl right now, as if there's some magic food left.
Oh, the poor thing. The absolute poor thing. Yeah, what kind of a life is this? So,
And he has these big, brown, soulful eyes.
Oh, of course.
Weed.
Yeah, but all kidding aside, the blood tests, especially thyroid and hormone levels and all that, that mm-hmm. could be a factor.
It could be. You're right.
So it'd be worth it. I mean, I don't think the tests are all that expensive, and whatever it is, it'd be worth it.
Well, what's coming up is all expensive. It'd just be a little bit more.
Oh, no. What's coming up?
Well, the usual, all the rabies and all the other shots and the heartworm and all the medications to prevent fleas and heartworm. And it amounts to about $400.
Whoa.
With the vet cost.
Whoa. Yeah, and that heartworm stuff is really dangerous. I mean, some dogs have no problem, but other dogs die. So, you know, obviously he's had it before, so you're probably okay. Yeah. But I always hold my breath when I'm thinking about giving a dog that stuff because it may not be so great. But you got to do something. So, yeah.
No. Okay.
All right. Keep me posted. I want to know what the vet says. Poor Mr. Chubbs. We'll give him a big hug.
I will.
All right.
I will.
All right. Thanks. Absolutely. Appreciate it. Yeah. Oh, that's so sad. Yeah. Those big eyes. He just doesn't understand. That's right. He's hungry. Oh, man. I hope it's a glandular problem that can be cured easily. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. All right, maybe I wasn't supposed to take a break. What do I know? I'll just continue to prattle on for another another few minutes, and we'll see what happens. In the meantime, Jim is in New Hampshire. Welcome to WGN Radio.
How are you?
I don't know anymore. But
oh, good God.
Yeah. How about yourself? I played your request. Did you hear them both?
I heard them both. I want to thank you.
Oh, sure. My pleasure.
Very much. Yeah, yeah. It sort of brings me back to my flirtation with MOR radio back in the day.
Yeah, well, Al Martino would do that. And actually, the early 70s did have, it's a guilty pleasure. I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I liked Sweet Changes by Jack Jones.
Uh-huh.
And
what,
that was...
What was it by Jack Jones? I'm sorry.
Sweet Changes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a typical MOR record from 71. That or stuff by Hines and Dad. I mean...
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That was something. Whenever SMB would play something like that, I would disappear. You know?
Oh, geez.
They would play it on the Sounds of Music, and I would disappear.
Oh, understood. But yeah, well, you know, let's face it. Top 40 was so dreadful at that period of time that.
What choice did I have?
Not much. I kind of went to country for a while. You know, because originally I'd been doing soul, but that started to change, and you know, so I wound up with country.
And I kind of went to. I sort of actually went to WWL, for a while, but their big thing was they played some good stuff over there whenever you could stuff it in between all the CBS features.
Right. Of course. Well, they took full service very seriously, don't you know?
Yeah. Yes, First Line Report and things on that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I found this station in Slidell that decided to take a shot at doing MOR.
Okay.
The old 1560.
Uh-huh.
Which when they went MOR, they became WSDL.
Right.
They MOR stations go, they weren't so bad. As a matter of fact, one of the guys that was the action reporter for Channel 8 in New Orleans, Ed Martin, was one of their jocks. I kind of discovered that one day.
Well, and they're still on the air, probably just repeating what's on 93.9, the translator. But yeah, I think it's like sports talk or something.
Yeah. Well, I know that one of the guys, Corey Johnson, went over there. And I wouldn't say his show was kind of sports. I would say he's more political talk. He was, he did sports for a while.
Well, that's back to the station's history, because when they signed on in 63, it was very, very much politically oriented. George Mayoral, or however you pronounce that, and Bill Garrett, the Chevy dealer, owned it.
Ah, good old Bill.
And they had the, I had a Corvette engine rebuilt there, actually, at that Chevrolet. The dealership on Pontchartrain Drive. I had no choice.
Oh, yeah.
As far as that goes. And then I guess it sold in the 80s, and then it got repossessed by the Mayoral family and was off the air and all that kind of stuff. And
They went away for a while.
Right, came back and for what, an outlet for high school football? I don't know.
But they carried high school football and a myriad of other things that they used to run of a sports nature. But one of the things when they were MOR, they used to play one of my favorites by Engelbert that I liked called. Another time, another place.
Okay.
You think you could get that on for me?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
That was kind of interesting about, because I go into my MOR phase.
Right, absolutely.
And do you recall a song, I don't know. Yeah, I do remember now that I think of it. It was a song called 1927 Kansas City by, I think it was by Mike Riley. And they used to play it on WWL.
Now, I'll tell you who did that record in 76. It wasn't the original one, but David Soul redid that record. But yeah, Mike Riley had.
No.
Yes, I am not making that up. I am absolutely not. I know. I know. And I think I might have
Mr.
it.
Mr. Don't Give Up On Us himself.
Yes, he bought her a flower at the fair, 1927, Kansas City. Like the color of her hair. Yeah, I remember it. I'm looking for another time, another place. I'm finding it every. Oh, here's the Engelbert Humperdinck. I got it. I had the Patti Page. I have the Jerry Lee Lewis. Well, I got the Engelbert Humperdinck too. So we'll play that. But yeah, 1927 Kansas City, not by David Soul. Okay.
No, please don't.
Well, let's see. I'm afraid it may be the only version I have on this computer. No, I have. I have Mike Riley. I have it. Okay.
Oh, great.
I'll play it for you. Fantastic. Absolutely. I will be happy to play it for you.
All righty then, Raleigh.
All right. Well, good deal. I think they probably went to commercial since they didn't break when I did, so they seem to be breaking now, so I guess I'll stop talking. All right.
Okay, then.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye.
Yeah, I broke,
Yeah, I know you did, Raleigh. I heard you break out there. My wide orbit
didn't. Oh, well. I figured I was expecting the train wreck, so there it is, and we will continue.
He bought her a flower at the fair, 1927 Kansas City, said he liked the color of her hair. Well, then he walked her home and he told her she was pretty.
Then they spent a little while letting their hearts learn to smile, doing things that lovers always do. He said, how many kids? She said, a few. That it's 1927, Kansas City. Folks were driving round in their Stutz Bearcats, with straw hats and parasols, the fashion of the day. Summer nights with ukulele strumming, they were humming to the tune of Moonlight Bay. Bathtub gin and movie stars, two more payments and the baby's ours. It's the little things that make this life so sweet. But when your only worries were your two sore feet, from dancing in the streets in Kansas City.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, Mike Riley, and he was a denizen of L.A. music. He used to hang around with Jimmy Webb and Johnny Rivers doing writing and stuff like that. Got involved with the Smothers Brothers, and I think it was Tommy Smothers who got him on Paramount with that 1927 Kansas City. And like I say, David Soul did a remake of it, and you don't want to hear it. So that was for Jim in New Hampshire, and we'll get his Engelbert Humperdinck after I give you Snooks Eglin, because Snooks Eglin would have had a birth anniversary right about now. You know, I gotta play Willie Lee. All right, so we've got Jim in Richmond. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
I didn't call yesterday because of what happened yesterday.
What happened?
I the dog wanted to go out early in the morning.
Yeah.
And I made it to the front door, and I don't know what happened. I found myself on the floor.
Oh, no.
And I hurt my back. I don't know if I hurt my back or bruised my left kidney. All I know, I've been in pain.
Oh, no.
So then the dog, I'm laying on the floor, and he's licking my face because he thinks it's party time.
Right.
So so I got him out, and then I started walking around. I go, boy, does it hurt. And then I got him back in and everything, and I fed him and stuff. And then I go and find out that there's a water line that runs the back of my house, which is a west wall. And we had tremendous amount of wind, like, you know, 20 miles an hour wind from the west, and found out that the hot water line that goes to the vanity and the kitchen sink was frozen.
Oh, no.
So I had this bad back trying to get down, you know, bend down and all this stuff. So I got the heat lamp out, and I had it underneath the vanity, and I had it in another spot on the wall, and then I put it on another spot, and it didn't do anything.
Mm.
So I just let it go. So this morning we had to go to the lawyer, but anyways, I took a shower, and then I go, wait a minute. The last time the pipe broke, there was three times that it's broke, but the very first time it was between the shower wall and the outside wall.
Right.
So I turned the shower on super hot, pointed it where the pipe was, and left it go for 15 minutes, you know. Didn't help my septic tank, but, you know, and then I let it go. And then I turned it off, and then my brother came, and we went to the lawyer today to change the beneficiary on my life insurance.
Okay.
And I thought we had to change the will. And after sitting in there for a long time, he tells me he couldn't understand the paperwork. He had to really look it over. And he tells me that the life insurance policy is a contract. It has nothing to do with the will.
Right.
It's a contract between you and the
insurance company. Are you the owner of the policy?
Yeah, I own the policy, but I'm changing my brother to be the beneficiary.
Oh, that's fine.
My sister is unable. She was the beneficiary.
Okay.
She's unable to process what needs to be done.
Okay. No, that's fine. As long as you own the policy. Some people get a real surprise when they go to do this if they don't own the policy. But if you do, you can change it to anybody you want.
Well, this is the joke about this policy is it's $75 a month, and it started in 2008, and it's for $15,000.
Okay.
And I multiplied it all out. I've paid $15,000 into it already.
Of course you have.
And then they tell me, oh, yeah, but you got the cash value. You could end it now for $4,900.
Right. Yeah, you'd get $4,900. You know? Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we discussed all that, and then we didn't have to change the will. And then my brother sat and talked to him for a half hour because he wants to come up from where he lives to do his will with him and his wife, but she can't travel right now. She's that ill.
Oh,
so sorry. Anyways, so then he goes, okay. I go, what do I owe you? He goes, $150.
Okay.
Just to fill out that one form.
Oh, yeah.
So and I didn't mind because I got it all done.
Right, exactly.
So I was happy about that getting done.
Exactly.
And when we came back home, because we only had to drive the Whitewater and back, and he had to drive all the way back to Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
So here I'm sitting in the living room after he left, and I go, what is that noise? And then I got up and went in the kitchen because I had the faucet open, and here was the hot water running in the kitchen.
Oh, no.
No, it was running. It wasn't pipe didn't break. It was running because I left the faucet open.
And it was running in the sink, so it didn't overflow. Right. All right. Well, good.
Right.
Now, I assume you have a tankless water heater.
No. My family paid for it because one day I was taking a shower, and it was in July, and all of a sudden there was no hot water, and I realized that the hot water tank that was here when I got the house was way over 20-some years old. So they bought me a new hot water tank, but it's not tankless.
Well, if it's not tankless, I'm surprised you didn't run out of hot water.
Oh, it wasn't running very long. It was running while I was in the house.
Oh, okay, all right.
I was in the house. I'm sitting in the living room and resting my back.
Yeah, okay.
And I go and find out, you know, I had a little bit of a trickle, so... And I was so happy that I had the right idea of spraying it on the bathroom.
You did. It worked.
Shower wall.
Good. You solved the problem. That's excellent.
Right. And then to cause everything else, you know, I'm resting my back. And then all of a sudden I go to let Bear out. And Bear decides he doesn't want to wear his leash to go outside. And he took off.
Oh, no.
In the whole subdivision, he ran right down the block.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm going, it was snowing all day today, and I go, I'm not chasing you, and I yelled out real loud, goodbye, good riddance.
Yeah.
So then somebody was plowing on the street, on the next street over, and that's where he runs. He runs in that direction. So all of a sudden, I said, okay, I'm going to go get him. So I put my gloves on, my hat, my jacket, and then I found the leash, and then I got out just out in front of the house, and he's 90 miles an hour tearing up the road and ran up to the porch and jumped on the door to go in. And, of course, I had to walk through the snow to go back in to let him in. And he ran from the front door, ran all the way in the bedroom and hid in the bedroom.
Wow.
Because he knew he was wrong.
Right, of course.
I'm just happy that I'm knocking all these things off my list.
Yes.
And the only thing I need to do now is to line up a crematorium.
Okay.
And I asked Siri where one was, and she goes, 3.5 miles from your house. But I couldn't read the map. I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But that's what we're up to, and I'm knocking things off my list.
It sounds good. It sounds excellent.
You know, so I'm, other than my back, I'm in a good mood, so.
Good. Good. Well, hopefully when you wake up tomorrow, you'll be better. Now, are you pretty sure it's your back and not an organ?
I don't know if it's my kidney or not.
Yeah, that's the only thing that worries me.
Because I don't know if that's what I landed on.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. I don't even remember falling. All I know is just laying on the floor and holding the doorknob and the dog's looking in my face.
Do you have any other symptoms?
Oh, no. It just...
Okay. All right.
Probably just lost my balance.
Okay. So it probably just is that you wrenched your back a little and hopefully some rest. Mm-hmm. You never know. It's one of those things where you'll either wake up tomorrow and feel a lot better or you'll wake up tomorrow and feel a lot worse.
Right. But it was one of those days where everything went wrong. So
sure.
And I just wanted to thank you for playing that song.
Oh, yes.
And any time you're short of a song, you can pick out one of them you like and then say that I picked
it for you. It's a deal. I like that.
You don't like any of my songs.
No.
So
all right.
If you need to play one, play it and say it's from Jim.
I'll do it. Absolutely. Well, good. I'm glad it worked out, and you sound like you're in good spirits, and hopefully you'll be feeling better by tomorrow. Call and let me know.
Yes, I will.
All right.
And thank you.
Thanks.
And thank everybody, and thank John, and you guys have a wonderful evening.
You too.
And by the way, I was listening to you talk to Adam.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. you'll always hear the playbacks. Yeah, you betcha. And he's having a hell of a time in the studio, so my heart goes out to him. I know what that's like. All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Have a great one.
All right, you too. Yeah, and the WGN automation is such an expensive system, too. I'm like, geez, well, my whole deal was well under $500, a lot less than that, and I've never had a problem. Yeah, well, what can I tell you? 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Brian and Seneca's got a request. All right, so what do you want to hear, Brian?
First off, my request is for Nat King Cole's version of That's All.
Okay.
Which, what I've seen, is probably the first, if not, or certainly one of the first releases of that song.
No, it's very nice, but to me it doesn't hold a candle to the Midnighters, because I guess I'm an East L.A. girl in my taste, but I'll be happy to play it.
Well,
it is not a bad song.
Very good, but we've already heard them once tonight.
Yes, that's right. Well, you'll hear Nat King Cole tomorrow night, because it's a great song and I love playing it.
Okay. And my point about GPS is, first off, your GPS is very, very good about knowing where you're at. But your location doesn't mean nothing, you know, just a point somewhere in four-dimensional space. You have to tie it to something else, like, say, a map.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the millions and millions of miles of roads, paths, sidewalks, and trails, it's a miracle that the map companies get by with as few typographical or cartographical, more correctly, errors as they actually come up with. So when you're using a GPS, yeah, it's great. It's a lot easier than having to faff around with a Atlas book when you're making a cross-country drive. But when everything is said and done, who are you going to believe? That little map on your phone or your own lying eyes.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, and the other thing about GPSs, which inexperienced truckers and new to the RV life RVers frequently get themselves in trouble with, is that if you are driving a large commercial vehicle or an RV, you know, a converted bus, a huge super tall camper, or even a U-Haul, you can't use a regular GPS. You have to use a trucker's GPS.
Yeah, right, exactly. Or you're going to wind up colliding with some roads or being on roads that you're restricted from being on and all of that, yes.
Yeah, you're going to end up on the internet with the top half of whatever
you're driving
peeled off and laid on the road behind you.
Right, but most of those overpasses have clearly marked height on them, but people still, I see it all the time, like, oh, I can make that. No, you can't.
Yeah, they ignore the first 11 signs. Maybe if they posted the 12th sign, they might have listened to that one.
Yeah. All right, good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it. You'll hear Nat King Cole from 1953 on Capitol tomorrow.
Great deal. Talk
all right,
to you later.
Good
on.
Deal. Yes, and it was the first version of That's All. And there are many, many. there's almost 500 versions of this, and I like this song so much I might have heard them all. Hard to believe. I can tell you that do not ever listen to the Ricky Nelson version. Just don't. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll see if this works on WGN Radio.
You satisfy.
You satisfy.
She's a lady, I declare. I can take her anywhere. Willie
Lee. Willie Lee, Willie
Lee. The apple of my
eye. Apple of my eye.
I will marry the apple of my eye. My baby, I'll tell you why.
I'll tell you why.
She's a 14 carat girl, and I love her. She's my world. Willie
Lee, Willie Lee, Willie Lee.
The apple of my eye.
The apple of my eye.
Sometimes she almost drives me crazy. How I love that lady. Willie
Lee, Willie Lee, Willie Lee.
The apple of my eye.
The apple of my eye.
Willie Lee,
Willie Lee, Willie Lee.
You never die.
You never die.
Sometimes she breaks the rules. Then she's smiling, make cool. Willie
Lee.
Well, that was an abrupt end. All right, I should have paid more attention to that. Yeah, Ford Snooks, Eaglin, and Willie Lee, 1962. And what a fine song that was, as far as I'm concerned, anyway. And that was on Imperial, as so many things out of New Orleans were. And Snooks would have turned 88 yesterday. Singer and guitarist, born in 1937 in New Orleans. He won a WNOE radio talent contest when he was 11 years old. And this is before Jimmy Noe owned the station. The Baptist of New Orleans had it then. But he started playing with Alan Toussaint's band, the Flamingos, at 16 years old. And he was a prodigy. The band didn't have a bass player, so he played the guitar and the bass guitar parts on his guitar at the same time. And why he never had national hits? Well, I think Willie Lee should have, but I don't know. I will say, sadly, that he's no longer with us and hasn't been for quite some time. Died in February of 2009 of cancer, just 72 years old at the time. So rest in peace, Snooks Eaglin, Ford Snooks Eaglin, to be specific. And like I say, that was on Imperial. All right, so now, with that in mind, let's see what we're going to do. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. James is on the south side. What's happening tonight, James?
Well, I was like,
I spoke too soon. We have to have the news before we have you. Don't go away. Stay where you are. I'll hear it all coming up right after this, right here on WGN Radio.
The candles flicker in the fade. Light. I sit alone and watch that lonely night. I see you everywhere, and I try desperately to hide. Another time, another place, I see that old familiar face, and I try hard to catch your eye. Another day, I'll see you standing in my way. I'll stop and say hello, my friend. Another place, another time, you tell me you've been doing fine, and walk away from me once more. I try to run away from sad dreams.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is for Jim. That's Engelbert Humperdinck and 1971. Yeah, it was a good year for Pop Adult, those MOR stations. And that was on Parrot. All right, so back to James on the south side now. I rudely interrupted him for the news, but there you go. All right, so of course, you've got news of your own. 9,842 stories. What's up?
Okay, well,
I first wanted to comment on, like, the GPS thing. Yes, it doesn't. Okay, all it's like, basically, it's like to give you a general idea where you are. Because, like, I've used it a couple of times, although I prefer to actually know how, and I actually prefer to know where I'm basically, for the most part. And I don't mind using an old-fashioned maps, basically.
Well, actually, when Brian was saying that driving across the country with an atlas, well, hell, I want to drive across the country with an atlas. I like looking at maps. And even locally, I miss having all the maps of the local area. I prefer to see them that way.
Because really, a lot of times, okay, like the GPS, like one time I was on a bus, basically. And I noticed, like, okay, it's like it will only show like the major roads. Like there's one time it's showing how we're traveling. And then it looks like you say, oh, are we going to go up north or south?
Yeah.
Because the main road splits off. No, it's just so to just keep on going through, and you realize that that's only like the major one. But the road you're on now is like considered a minor road,
yeah,
and not worthy of being shown.
Well, you know, it's interesting also that the apps that you're using when you're using an app while driving don't give you the whole picture. They'll give you turn-by-turn directions. And the first thing I always say to John is, pull that screen down and tell me what all the directions are before we start, not just turn here.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. And really, sometimes, I mean, I'm not saying it's not, it doesn't help some, because especially, let's say, if you you happen to have somebody who is not completely sure what the directions are. But at the same time, okay, I still like the old maps.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Also, when, okay, the topic we, like, ended up with last night, about the Snap thing, I happened to notice the comments, and they were interesting. It seemed like most of them, it didn't matter where they were, but what part of the country. Basically, pretty much wanted to say to the politicians, if they could have used Charlton Heston's famous line from Planet of the Apes, basically, one of them was, keep your hands off of
my.
Yeah.
Right.
What they wanted to pretty much say.
Right.
Because they said, you're feasting on $200 dinners, going places. Sometimes they say it's on business, and you have the nerve to say, you claim you worry about me, when I only have a little bit and I have to make it stretch.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
So, all right. I was going to say you sent me a number of stories, and what was the one that really caught your attention?
Okay, there was unfortunately it seems like too many people playing Mommy Dearest or Daddy Dearest.
Oh, you're so right. The amount of parents that have killed children since the new year is just astounding.
Yeah, in fact, my phone decided not to even send anymore. It just said,
yeah.
Hey, okay, you're getting near a limit on this.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I would pretty much agree, because it's heartbreaking. And I think it was there earlier. I think it was. I'm trying to think where it talked about the Jimmy Carter thing. I'm glad you mentioned it, because I had been trying to find, when my phone would actually work well enough to actually bring the condolence thing.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I was able to.
Good.
And it's, I mean, So I felt that they actually made my day.
Oh, good, good. Then we had the story about a New Jersey woman, a woman in Brigantine, who was hired to babysit a toddler. She was found inside the family's home, passed out drunk. The child was not there.
Yeah, I said, and then you say, oh, maybe baby professional, maybe babysitting help.
Yeah.
No, even that is like a left leg.
Yeah,
and then, it's sad. I mean, she helped herself to the family's private hooch.
Well, you know, this is one time, actually, where a lot of these devices, these newfangled devices, are a big help if you have children. In fact, in this case, the child was wandering outside in the freezing cold alone, and the father saw the child through his Ring camera app and quickly called a neighbor who called 911 and brought the child home. And then they discovered the babysitter out cold on the floor. I think that in this day and age, sadly, you probably do want some nanny cams or some Ring doorbells or whatever. I don't think you absolutely can trust a situation like that. So,
it's a good help. It's hard to find.
Well, and this is a woman. This isn't the teen next door. This is a woman who was a 35-year-old woman who was advertising on multiple sites like Mom Trusted and Nanny Lane where they found her. And it's interesting that, of course, Nanny Lane is aware of this and said that the woman signed up over a year ago, tried the site for 3 days, then left, never used again. Her profile is still alive, but she was blocked from using the site. Well, as far as that goes, she was able to be contacted, and the other site said every paid family is provided background checks as part of their membership fee. We highly recommend every family use them. Well, that's interesting. So a background check every time that you're going to hire a babysitter. And by the way, I'm not sure that Passed Out Drunk is going to show on that background check.
No. Seeking up help is a good help. It's hard to find. You know, teachers. Remember the previous one where the guy had to leave his teaching job because he wasn't making a decent living.
Oh, right.
In order to sign up with Walmart.
Right. So, right. Exactly.
Well, here is. Then I had one where, unfortunately, the teacher who was 34.
Oh, I know where you're going. I know exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The 34-year-old teacher had a 5-year-old child that looked amazingly like the 11-year-old boy she was having in her home. Well, it was. So, but there's a lot of questions about this. Firstly, from what I can piece together, because I read this one a few times, this is a high school teacher, and it was alleging she was having sex with a 13-year-old boy. But the 13-year-old boy had been living with her from the age of 11 to 15 in her home. And so the first thing is, and a sibling of his as well, the first thing is, what the heck? And from what I understand, it was a single parent, a father, a single parent, who allowed this to happen. The child was living with this teacher, who at the time was 28, and no one seemed to notice anything. It didn't happen until the father publicly voiced his opinion last month that his son looked exactly like the 5-year-old child she bore, and then they checked it out in DNA, and of course, and it matched. But the interesting thing is that the abused child had reported to his sister over text that he was being abused by this teacher. He even mentioned that he had fathered a child, which he reiterated in the interview when police intervened. But you really wonder what these kids were doing living with this woman and how this wasn't monitored a little more closely.
Well, okay. I suspect the father got so overburdened with whatever he was working, and he couldn't, by the time it was like, uh-oh, this is already it's happened, and I can't, okay. And it's really sad that apparently we got here the case of really three injured parties.
Yeah, well, the whole...
You have the... that the father who did, obviously just thought the person was doing out of the kindness of her heart instead of out of some other motives. You have the child who basically is a father before he actually really needed to be. And you have a child who's basically kind of like, is like wondering, my father is just
child may never know that. It's going to be interesting to see. But the whole thing is sorted. But and I certainly understand that a single parent could be overwhelmed. But I'm still thinking this kid was living with her for 5 years, you know, and her sister. It's like, wait a minute. And so anyway, this will in fact be adjudicated and all that, and she's on paid leave for now until it's sorted out. But
but it's like, okay, what? Okay, how come you keep? If there was a time, at least from what my mother would talk that teachers, worked until when they got married, they were then basically, if they were female, they basically were pretty much said, well, you're now unemployed,
right,
since you're now married.
Well, things things change. So absolutely.
Yeah,
so it's unfortunate, but we hear it more and more. And of course it depends on the maturity of the child. You know, for some kids they're saying, hey, it's my lucky day, and for other kids they're literally spoiled for life. So I don't think it's a black and white situation, but it certainly is one that shouldn't be going on.
On one hand, it would be like almost a scene out of one of those 1980s, 1990s teen sex dramas.
Right.
Or it can be something, you're right.
Yeah, damaging. It is individual, obviously. So that's the deal. And again, dad fatally shooting a 4-year-old and dad fatally shooting a teen, on and on it goes. And so, and then you have a happy story, a 22-year-old who's making almost 50 grand a year as a teacher while preparing to go into business. And, he's doing very well and has been from a very young age. So there's hope in some cases.
Yeah, and you can't, you think, the teaching profession, but there's, it'll be interesting because it won't even make this even political. Okay, I'll only say that teachers have the hardest job. Everybody wants something from them, and nobody asks, what can we do for you? Yeah.
And it's gotten harder because the parents, in many cases, are not involved in the equation. So that's a sad societal comment that we'll leave there. But this 22-year-old is interesting because he went to college, undergrad, got his degree, and signed up with Teach for America, which is a nonprofit that puts recent college grads teaching in underserved schools. And while he was there, he was taking pre-MBA classes at Harvard, and other things of that nature. And he's going to, go on. He wants to be an entrepreneur and all that, and doing very well. So there are some people who are making quite a life for themselves, and this 22-year-old, I think, is one of them.
Yeah, he's basically, we would call it a credit to the profession.
Yeah, absolutely. And he won't teach forever, and that's okay, because there should be, hopefully, a crop of kids coming out every year who might want to look at that. So, and I would assume that some of these programs, not all of them, but some of these programs will actually forgive some college indebtedness and things of that nature. So it's...
I'm fairly certain I hear about it, especially the ones who go into public service, any kind of public service. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this if I'm not mistaken, at least used to hear about even for ones that the parochial schools that used to have to recruit teachers from their okay, they
right. Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah,
things, right. But right. Not as quite as generous.
Yeah. All right. It is wonderful to talk to you as always. Thank you for the stories.
Okay. You take care.
All right, you too.
God bless.
So 888-876-5593. We have Raymond, and Raymond is in Western Springs. So welcome to WGN Radio, Raymond.
Raleigh, thank you. That's a very tough phone call to follow. That's quite a conversation.
You'll
and,
do.
And the
fine.
Only can I say two things about that call real quick?
Yes.
Number one, the era we live in, I don't think it's ever been harder to be a parent.
Right.
I don't think it's ever been harder to be a kid.
I agree.
All right, tell me why you think so.
Well, societally, we've really been approaching this for a few hundred years. I think we're going through a paradigm shift unlike anything the world has seen since the change that happened to society when they invented the wheel, literally. The buildup to digital has been, about 250 years coming, and where we are now, we're doing things in different ways. We're in uncharted territory, and especially for kids, back in the day, you would try on identities and no one will remember. Now, your permanent record is very real. It's on social media and will follow you for life. And on, there's a lot of things that become harder. And, of course, parents have a bad set of circumstances as well. So it is hard.
That's a tremendous analysis. I am of your generation. I lived across the street from a very nice park. It's the right size. It's not too big. It's not too small. There's a baseball diamond.
Mm-hmm.
The next time I see 10-year-old kids over there organizing their own baseball game will be a first.
Yeah.
The idea that they don't need their parents, they don't need Little League, they need bat ball gloves and their imaginations, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's just sad.
Well, like I say, it's a paradigm shift, and you can see it in terms of behavior. When you go out to dinner and you see a family of four with three kids, and everybody, including mom and dad, are buried in their phones. And, teachers used to worry that kids were not going to learn grammar because they were texting. Well, now kids don't ever type. They don't read. They actually just dictate their texts.
Do you remember in high school what a rite of passage it was to take a typing class?
Oh, are you kidding? I took it in junior high. Yeah, you betcha.
So you got a head start.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I went to school in the South, and as girls, we not only had to take typing, we took shorthand, Diamond Jubilee, and 10-key adding machines and other things like that. And I'll tell you, that shorthand helped when I was in college to take notes and everything else. I didn't begrudge having to take it, though I think I would have rather had shop.
I wish I had taken shop. I never went near industrial arts.
Ah.
So now automobiles remain baffling to me. Home improvement, they might as well be speaking Sanskrit. It doesn't make
any
sense.
Well, see, it's come full circle, though. Automobiles now don't mean anything to any of this. And the guy on the corner can't work on them either. You need, millions of dollars worth of equipment. So, even what you knew before, you're not going to find the carburetor, and on and on.
It's amazing. Raleigh, I know I should know this because I listen to your show regularly. When you say South, where in the South?
Okay, I went to school in Dade County, Florida, Miami.
Oh, my God. So you were down there even when the Southeast Florida was still not heavily Cuban?
I got there in 59, when Cuba was still a vacation spot. You take the boat from Key West.
Oh, my God. And George Smathers was the senator.
Yeah, and I'd been in Los Angeles before that. That's where I was born. So, we were not planning to stay. We were planning to go back to Bolivia, but then, we didn't. So I just stayed and lived at the Americana Hotel for several years and then moved.
Where was the Galt Ocean Mile?
Oh, Galt Ocean Mile is further north. That's not Dade County.
The first time my family vacationed down there, we stayed at, and I was 9 years old. We stayed at the Galt Ocean Mile.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Fort Lauderdale. And Fort Lauderdale is interesting, as you know from staying there. They prohibited building hotels right on the beach. So you're across the street from the beach, and the beach was pretty pristine. And today, it's like all luxury condos and things like that.
Although, is the dividing boulevard still, is it Fort Lauderdale Boulevard? that separates.
Well, A1A is the road, of course, to the ocean. But then, oh man, Galt Ocean Mile. There's Coral Ridge Country Club. I'm doing this from memory. But as far as streets leading to it, I'd say Sunrise Boulevard will head dead into it.
We flew down last January for a long weekend. We flew home midday Tuesday. And as a matter of fact, it was almost a year to this weekend.
Wow.
Midday Tuesday at the Fort Lauderdale Airport, it was empty. It was so easy to get through, get on the flight back to O'Hare, and that was it.
Nice. But absolutely nice.
It was very nice. Riley, I told John I have a trivia question for you. Your knowledge of music, radio, etc., encyclopedic, staggering. You'll either get this quickly or take over nature.
Actually, this is really bad. John says, I'm not going to get it at all. I'm blowing the news in a commercial break. Can you call me tomorrow night?
Absolutely.
All right, I'll look forward to it. Thanks, appreciate it.
Good night, Riley.
All right, so on that note, I think that's a wrap on WGN Radio.